Judge Shaw, Injury Law, 732-888-8888.
T-Man Judd.
T-Man Justice.
T-Man Judd.
The injury accident professionals.
First class service.
Judd gets it done. Maximum compensation's our goal. See JudgeShawInjuryLaw.com. T-Man Judd Shaw, Injury Law, 732-888-8888.
T-Man Judd. Welcome to Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. And now, here's your host, Greg Giamborisi.
Good day, everybody. Welcome to episode 56 of Hook, Line, and Splitter. I'm your host, Greg Giamborisi. Hook, Line, and Splitter is presented by Judd Shaw Injury Law. We understand the toll injuries take on families, and we're here to help. For a free consultation, call 1-866-909-6894 or visit JuddShawInjuryLaw.com. That's Judd with two D's, ShawInjuryLaw.com. Special guest today, we'll get right to it, is the manager of the Jersey Shore Blue Claws, Greg Brodzinski. Blue Claws coaching staff was announced late last week. We were able to catch up earlier this week with Greg Brodzinski, who went to Bishop Eustis, not that far from the stadium outside of Philly, and has been in the Philly system since 2015, a couple of years as a player. He's been a coach at a few different levels, including Lehigh Valley, where he was the bench coach last season in 2022. And he'll get his first chance at managing a team this year. We're going to split this up into two parts. So we'll have Greg here part one today. Then we'll hear from Judd Shaw, from Judd Shaw Injury Law, our new sponsor. So he'll join us later. And then next week we'll come back with part two with Greg Brodzinski, the new Blue Claws manager. Also, the rest of the coaching staff looks like this. Phil Condari will be the pitching coach, who spent the last couple of years in the Blue Jay system, former Seton Hall All-American. He was a pitching coach at both Seton Hall and at Rutgers. Brock Stassi, who played with the Blue Claws in 2012 and briefly in the big leagues with the Phillies in 2017, he'll be the hitting coach. Chris Adamson is the bench coach. Chris, of course, you know him as Tank, was here as the manager in 2021. He was in Florida at the Complex League last year. And then Brady Lale, who pitched in the Yankee system for a few years, he'll be the pitching development coach under Phil Condari. So there's your Blue Claws coaching staff. Opening night, of course, April 4th. Don't want to let this intro go on too long. We'll get right to it and introduce you to the manager of the Jersey Shore Blue Claws. It's Greg Brodzinski. Greg Brodzinski, the new Blue Claws manager for the 2023 season, and we're excited to welcome him to the Blue Claws. Greg, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great, Greg. How about yourself?
Great. So we talked right before we came on the air, and you know, you had said that one of the things that you had always told people in the Phillies, you know, one of your goals was to be a major league manager. So now you get your first shot. How excited are you to get to make out your own lineup here come April 7th?
I'm very, very excited. You know, it's hard to put into words how fortunate I feel for the opportunity to manage a ball club and it be with the Phillies organization. And I think, you know, Jersey Shore is a great first stop in my managerial career. And I'm just really appreciative to the organization and the opportunity to manage. So I'm very, very excited.
So what have you learned over the years? You know, you've been in the system now for 7 years, you know, or 8 years. What have you learned from being around both minor league players, major league players, coaches that, you know, that you're ready to apply now as you run your own team?
You know, one thing that I've been really fortunate of throughout the last eight seasons or so is being around great coaches. I think the Phillies organization consistently, you know, has really good coaching staff, whether it's player development or in the big leagues. And I've gotten to be around, you know, a lot of those coaches with different roles that I've been in at different locations. So I've just tried to be a sponge from the start. That's some of the advice that I got from the older coaches when I made that transition from playing to coaching was, you know, it's a different world. It's a different side of the game that when you're playing that you don't even really worry about. So I really took that advice to heart and learned as much as I could from the start. And there's still so much more to learn, obviously, as you go on and you do these things firsthand. But I've gotten to talk to a lot of amazing managers within the game. I got to be around a lot of amazing managers. I'm still around a lot of baseball people that I've managed and consistently relying on them, you know, for information and leaning on them in different situations that come up, even this part of the year going into a season. You know, I just tell them I never want to miss anything. So I fire a lot of questions back and forth. There's a lot of great people I've gotten a chance to talk to, and just thankful to the Phillies for putting me in a lot of, you know, really good situations to be a lot of, to be around a lot of great coaches.
How did the transition to coaching come about for you? Because it happened relatively quickly after you started your playing career.
Right. So obviously got drafted and playing, and I love obviously the game of baseball. I love playing as a catcher. That was always one of my goals in my life and career, was to get drafted and play professionally. I did know throughout my journey in baseball, and my dad is a coach, and you know, I'm sure we'll talk about him at different times, but I knew that I wanted to coach at some point in my life. I didn't know it would be something that was an opportunity that soon. So obviously played 15, came in 16, played during spring training. And then the question kind of came up at the end of spring training. Would you ever be interested in getting into coaching? And I knew just from past thoughts that have come up, I wanted to be in professional baseball. And the fact that, you know, I'm getting to do all of this with the Philadelphia Phillies is amazing, growing up 20 minutes from the stadium. So it was an opportunity that became available. And like I kind of mentioned before, a lot of great coaches, a lot of great people in the organization that I talked to about different things. You know, it kind of hits you pretty quick, like might not be playing anymore. But I knew that it was a new opportunity that doesn't become available often. And I kind of jumped on it. So from the advice of the staff around and the coaches and the people within this organization, it was, you know, one of the best decisions I think I ever made, because I absolutely love what I do. And I've got to learn so much and do so many different things in this game that I probably wouldn't have gotten to do as a player. And so that's kind of how it came about. And you know, I'm thankful every day that it did.
Well, you mentioned your father, so we could go there now. You know, Keith Werman was the manager here last year, and his father was his high school coach, and obviously a major influence on Keith as he managed it and played before he got into the onto the other side. How did your father influence you both as a player and as a coach?
I just think from the time I was young, he created a passion for the game that you know, stays with me now. It'll stay with me through my whole life. And he always made it fun. You know, from the time I was young, it was something that we did together on a daily basis, whether it was going to games or practicing. We went to the field and hit with each other almost every day. You know, buying baseball cards, getting starting lineups, going. He always had, you know, at least a partial season ticket package at the Phillies games. Sitting at night and watching, you know, two games if we could, and just talking through baseball. He kind of, and it's funny because he's a basketball coach by trade his whole life, but he loves and has an absolute passion for baseball. So he, you know, kind of ingrained that into me, and it was something, you know, throughout my whole life that was really fun to do with my dad. And he has a lot of knowledge of the game, so he taught me like the right way to play baseball at a young age. And you know, he was my coach, he was my hitting coach, he was my catching coach. He, you know, we did so much together. We would travel. He'd bring an L screen in the back of the minivan, and we'd find a field to hit no matter what we were doing. So just all the things that we did together created the love of the game that I have, that I still have today. And I'm thankful for him for that, because he, you know, showed me the right way to do a lot of things. And we had a lot of fun doing it.
How did he coach you through Legion High School?
No, so he just – he never was like a coach of a team I was on.
Gotcha.
But we, you know, we'd practice together all the time. You know, he'd be at every single one of my games. And, you know, not only would, you know, he'd be there for the practice side of things, but also, you know, the dad side of things. And, you know, we talked through when I didn't have a good game, and things that I could do better. And he always staying on me to make sure, you know, I was doing the right things, and created a work ethic that I just saw from him. And, you know, my mom's another one too. Like, I remember from the Northeast, and, you know, when my dad was out of town or working or something, she'd be doing drills with me inside the garage. And yeah, my parents really, it was a special how much they've been a part of this journey, and how much, you know, they instilled in me at a young age that I've been able to carry on. And they've also, you know, been part of so much, you know, since being with the Phillies in my professional career, that, you know, not only you know, you realize that you enjoy it for yourself, but it's also a family thing, and they've gotten to enjoy a lot of it as well.
I mean, you went to Bishop Eustis, which is only about 45 minutes from here.
Yeah, so not far.
It's about, well, here, I looked it up. It's more than that. It's an hour 20, but not that far. You're gonna have some people from there come out, right? Your family gonna be able to make it out to a bunch of games?
Absolutely. They'll be out there. I grew up in Sewell, Blackwood, you know, in New Jersey. So it's probably about an hour from where Lakewood's at. And but they recently moved out to Pittsburgh. My two older brothers have kids, and so they have grandkids now. And they just made my mom finally retire. She was a teacher forever, and they moved out there. But they'll be there in Brooklyn for opening day, and then they're going to come over for our opening homestand, and they will spend a lot of time out in the Jersey Shore, and I guarantee you'll get to meet them.
You're going to – and they will too, because now you get, you know, the Monday off days. I'm sure you would have loved the schedule that they have now for you guys when you played.
Yeah. It's right? A great schedule for a lot of reasons, but I do think it's a good thing that they've done that. And in terms of even just like when you think about planning game planning aspects and preparing for a series, it gives you a little bit more time to really dive in deep and get ready for the next series that's coming up.
And it's great for the players too, with the, the rest and the limited travel. It's just a whole different deal. I remember the last year of the old format, because the Blue Claws were up here and they were in the South Atlantic League.
Yeah,
being a northern team, and they did. I think we did 14,000 miles all bus.
Yeah,
and I didn't run the math or whatever for this year, but last year was something like 2,500, and
wow,
one of them was maybe 3,000, and half that was a back and forth to Bowling Green, and almost the rest of it was a back and forth to Winston-Salem, and everything else was within 2.5 hours. That was unheard of, in the old system. But anyway, so that part's exciting as well. Who were some of your biggest baseball influences when you were growing up?
Obviously my mom and dad, you know, like when looking back on my career and just different things, obviously in the game and then in life that they instilled in me, because so much, you know, correlates with baseball is life skills and the ability to connect with people, the ability to be a teammate, the ability to be around, you know, a diverse group of people. Like, they've instilled a lot of things from a young age that have been really great traits in them, you know, because they're great people themselves. And so going back to all the different things that I did with my dad growing up, and my mom growing up, you know, and, you know, with one thing with my mom, she always talked, you know, about, you know, perseverance, the hard times in baseball and how you get through those, and patience, and, you know, consistently, you know, having a good personality and not changing who you are. Like, they were every type of coach that you possibly have now in professional baseball. My mom and dad were all that, you know, wrapped in one throughout my life. So they were huge influences on, you know, a lot of what I've gotten to do in the game and the person that I am today as well.
I know you've worked with Sean Williams for at least 1 year, maybe a couple. What about some of the coaches in that you played for, that you coached with?
Yeah. So that's the other thing. And looking through, you know, I had a very interesting college journey in baseball and went to a few different schools. And when you look at, you know, people who have different impact or influence in your life, you know, I look at all those coaches, right? Because you learn something from each of them. I had different experiences with each of them, you know, the good, the bad. You're continuously being shaped by the people you're around. So it's important to, like, remember those guys, right? Because all the coaches that I played for had an impact on my baseball career. And a lot of them were really great. They really were. And I was very fortunate to be around a lot of good people. But within our organization, like I talked about, we have an amazing group of coaches that I get to be around on a daily basis. And, you know, hopping into the managerial side of things, the immense, you know, information that I can get from, you know, Rob Thompson, who I have a great, you know, relationship with, and I'm super fortunate to be able to bounce questions off of him. And, you know, Larry Bowa is always around, Charlie Manuel. You know, I'm still in contact with Joe Girardi, who was here for a couple of years, who, you know, has all those years of experience. You know, these guys that I can lean on to ask questions and learn from and I've gotten to be around has been really amazing. But, you know, even we had Brian Price for, he was our pitching coach for a year when I was up in Philly. He managed 5-6 years in Cincinnati. So all these guys that I can reach out to and ask questions and continue to learn from has been great. But then you got, you know, we had a little mini camp or high performance camp down here, and I get to be with Sean Williams every day. You know, Marty Malloy was coming down. Chris Adamson, who just won the Australian baseball.
I texted him.
Yeah, so he's gonna be my bench coach, and I'm gonna lean on him hard for a lot of you know managerial questions and things that come up because he's gotten to do it and he's been very successful doing it. Rolly DeArmas, who was my first professional manager, you know, I'd pick his brain.
And he's a Phillies legend.
Philly's legend, exactly. So, you know, touching base with those guys, things that come up, you know, different things that might pop in my head that, hey, this is a good idea, this is a bad idea. You know, talk to me about running a clubhouse. Talk to me about how you talk to players. Talk to me about, you know, what it's like to call a guy up or, you know, when you have to have a tough conversation with them. You know, even Anthony Contreras, who's our AAA manager, I got to spend a year with him last year. He does a great job in the way he carries himself and handles a lot of the different things that come about as a manager on a daily basis. And we, you know, talked for 45 minutes the other day on you know, different things that might come up because he spent, you know, a good amount of time in high A with the Padres. And what's the difference between a high A player and a AAA player, big league player, to him, because he's seen it. So just getting to lean on these guys, talk to them about different stuff. And, you know, I think it's also important in a lot of those areas and questions, talking to former players. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to, you know, was texting with Raul Ibanez last week, and I'm going to get a chance to talk to him, like former players. Hey, who was your favorite manager? Why was he your favorite manager?
Yeah.
What made it fun to play for this guy? What made it, you know, tough to play for this guy? You know, who was hard on you throughout your playing career and you look back and that was the best thing for you? Like talking to former players and even current players, guys who have been in the league for a long time, guys who have been around a bunch of different managers, like having those conversations, you just continually add to the Rolodex of information that you try to store in your head and use on a daily basis. And, you know, being with the Phillies, we have a lot of great people here that I can do that with.
You mentioned Rob Thompson. You spent some time as one of the bullpen catchers and catching coaches with the Phillies. Joe Girardi was there at the time. Obviously, they went through the transition and they had the magical run after Thompson took over. Mm-hmm. So looking back at that, obviously you weren't there with them last year. You were with the AAA team, but you know, what did Thompson do? And you know, could you kind of foresee something like that happening because of the way he approaches things? And what did you learn from him?
Foresee, when you say foresee what happening in terms of like the turnaround with the,
they had to turn around. I guess he kind of, he approached everything a little differently.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously love Joe Girardi. The time that I spent around him, he hired me. It was, you know, I think, you know, Joe does a really good job and obviously Thompson and their relationship is great. And, Tom's just a little bit different, right? He's a little bit, keeps it light. Yeah. Really, really steady Eddie. He comes in every day. He's the same guy. He had previously had a relationship with a lot of the guys on the team being the bench coach. And I think.
And he preceded Girardi with the Phillies.
Correct. So like he knew the guys, they were comfortable with them. They knew what they were going to get on a daily basis with Tom's. One thing, you know, that I think he does really well is he cares. He really cares about each and every guy on that team, each and every guy on the staff. All the athletic trainers, everybody in that building, they know that he cares about them and the person first, as well as the player. And I think that makes him very approachable, really easy to talk to. And somebody that with the group that we have up there in the big leagues is perfect to lead the charge because, he's a really fun guy. He's a really smart guy. He's a really great baseball guy. And, you know, he makes everybody around him better on a daily basis just by who he is. And I think that really showed kind of when that transition happened during the season.
Thanks to Blue Claws manager Greg Brodzinski for joining us. That's only part one of our two-part interview. We'll have part two for you at some point early on next week. Since 1986, Rich Green Lawns has been the leading lawn fertilization company of the Jersey Shore. providing lawn fertilization, bed weed control, ticket mosquito control, as well as tree and shrub programs. Mention this ad and save 50% off your first lawn application. Call or text us today at 732-370-5963, 732-370-5963. Lightstar Energy Group is a leading energy brokerage firm headquartered in New Jersey. Our goal is to provide clients with premium energy management services to lower electricity and natural gas costs and to provide a long-term energy management strategy. We pride ourselves on bringing each and every individual business the same benefits of deregulation enjoyed by universities, municipalities, and all high-volume energy users. Tailored products and contracts, lower costs, personal attention, and outstanding service. Call 732-722-5880 or learn more at lightstarenergygroup.com. So, Greg Brodzinski, we talked about part one. Part two, Judge Shaw of Judge Shaw Injury Law. Pleased to have Judge Shaw Injury Law as a new partner with both the Jersey Shore Blue Claws and the new title sponsor of this podcast. It was a pleasure to be joined by Judd earlier this week. We talk about the law firm and really some of the great stuff in the community that he's doing with their mascot Sterling and a lot more, and some of the stuff that will have that will happen here at the ballpark with Judge Shaw Injury Law. So it's a cool spot, and he's a very interesting guy. I think you're going to like him. So without further ado, Judge Shaw. Judge Shaw Injury Law, new title sponsor of Hook, Line, and Splitter, Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast, and pleased to introduce the man behind it all. Judge Shaw joins us. Judd, how are you? Welcome. Thanks for coming aboard.
Thanks for having me on, Greg. Pleasure to be here.
Tell us about the knight in shining armor. You go to judgeshawinjurylaw.com. You'll see the section there for Sterling. So tell us about Sterling and the knight in shining armor.
Well, our law firm does two things. We represent injury victims at no fault of their own who are injured at somebody else's negligence. And we seek to recover and seek and get justice for those victims. We also represent medical providers treating those accident victims, particularly auto accidents that are handling no-fault PIP benefits. And so two parts, we represent the doctors treating the auto accident cases and the auto accident victims and other injured parties themselves. And so, you know, I think that for our practice, there's nothing that spoke more clearly in terms of a mascot or something that represents our service than the knight in shining armor, right? Back in the medieval days, they were entrusted to fight professionally and with honor. The chivalric code came out of it being chivalry or chivalrous. And so the idea that we serve as our client's knight in shining armor, right? The weak, the downtrodden, the hurt, the injured, the poor, the sick. And we fight those insurance bullies to get them the justice that they deserve. That's where Sterling, our mascot, came out of, right? We decided we were going to have a knight, and then the knight developed the name Sterling, and that's who he is. And so he is a real mascot. And on May 20th, for all the Blue Claw fans out there, Sterling will be hosting Buster's birthday party this year. So Buster being the Blue Claws mascot, the two of them being friends, of course, in the mascot world. Sterling is looking to have all of the mascots nationwide, all teams far and wide in the kingdom, please come to Sterling's hosting of Buster's birthday party.
That'll be great. That's on May the 20th. Single game tickets will go on sale first week of March for that. But Saturday, May the 20th, 4:05 game, mark it on your calendars, Buster's birthday party with Sterling. Be throwing him the party. That'll be a fun day. And Sterling's not just a mascot, right, Judd? He's a book star.
You know, it's funny you said that. Yeah, he's certainly turning out to be that way. We came out with I authored a book called Sterling and Nugget the Dragon. It's out of a series called Sterling the Knight. That's at sterlingthenight.com. It's a children's picture book, pretty much ages 5 to 10, focusing on teaching children and developing emotional and social skills with them. This book focuses on empathy. So in these books, you have Sterling, who's the young boy before he became the knight in shining armor, as he serves our our and represents our law firm and our company so well. And so these are kind of like Sterling's adventures, is how he became this great knight. And in the first book, again, is Sterling and Nugget the Dragon, available in Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and anywhere you buy books. It was out in the pub date was December 6th, just in this holiday season. So it's out fresh, and we're excited about it. I think it tells a great story. It helps children. And in that way, we are also partnering in Blue Claws, showing how Sterling, the young boy with families and children of our fans can also serve as a knight in shining armor in our communities. So important today.
It's a unique double that you pulled, right? As a lawyer, but then as an author. When did you get the idea, and how did the whole thing come together? You know, because it's one thing to have a mascot, but then it's another thing to write a book where you kind of introduce them and unveil them. How did the book come together? Where'd you get that idea?
Such a great question, Greg. You know, we have a policy handbook like many companies. Sure. Because we run on this medieval theme, we call our new hires squires. And for 90 days of their training, they seek to be knighted. And so there's a knighthood ceremony, and we really take it to the next level, both, you know, culturally in our company, but also the meaning behind our core values. And so and Sterling will be there, and he does the knighting, and it's a great ceremony. But what happened was, in that onboarding, I was trying to analogize to our team, our newest members, what it meant to be empathic and what it meant to be representing somebody who's injured and comes to our company, sometimes in the worst scenarios in their life. And empathy, not sympathy, is a very powerful tool in approaching and dealing with a client like that. And so I told this little story, and it sort of like evolved into someone saying, you know, you should really even make this into a kid's book. This is sort of, so I played around with that. And then I got an illustrator, and then I got picked up by a publisher. And then we start to do PR for it. And it just took on a life of its own. And I ran with it, and I've embraced it. And it's just been incredible watching these two things sort of come together full circle for me, both professionally and personally, because I know how empathy has worked in my own personal skills dealing with, you know, friends, family, and otherwise.
What's the future for Sterling, right? You said there's a second book.
Second book will be coming out in November of this year. It'll be Sterling, A Knight in Shining Armor. And now that Sterling is a junior knight, after book one, and you'll learn, of course, how he became that way, he now has to go to Wisemore School for Knights and Chivalry, because all junior knights now need to learn what it means to be a real knight and what it means to be chivalrous. And so he's off to school, and there.
I think all humans need to learn, know what it means to be chivalrous, not just knights.
Right, right. And we have a sign at the law firm that says chivalry is not dead. And you're so right. And so there he comes across another situation in which, to Sterling, he does not believe that it's right and it's wrong and it's unfair. And he hatches a plan to do something about it.
Very cool. So again, Sterling will be here on Saturday, May 20th. It'll be Buster's birthday party. So you'll get your tickets. You definitely want to get your tickets for that. Again, single game tickets will go on sale the first week of March. Opening night is April 11th. And Judd, will that be your first Blue Claws game? April 11th? We got to get you out here soon.
That will be my official. I've been at the stadium. I'm so excited about the updates and the changes that they've made there. Some of my team have been there going to the game since they're young. And so we are very excited about this, and so proud to be partnering with the Blue Claws and helping families and kids across the community and just being a big part of it. Looking forward to it.
Where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Oh,
where,
okay.
Chivalry is not dead.
Yeah. How'd you end up here?
You know, I had family. I was originally born in New Jersey, and I moved down there in New Orleans. I was there for most of my early schooling, and then ultimately in high school, I moved back to New Jersey with some of my family and went off to college, and after law school, returned to New Jersey to my roots there.
Awesome. Very cool. And Judd's a big Yankee fan, Buffalo Bills fan, so sorry about the Bills. And maybe we'll get you to a couple of Phillies games this year as well.
You know, we're excited about it, Greg. By the way, Judge Andre Law and the Blue Claws are joining for a, you know, I don't want to throw out all the stuff, but there are some teasers there. We're going to be doing a promotion for some giveaway tickets to some Philly seats. And when I tell you, these are amazing seats at a Phillies game. Food and transportation all paid. So I think that will be announced both on the media newsletter. I know that there may be some announcements or some signups at the games for that early on. And so look out for more. If you're listening out there and you're a fan and you want to get to that Phillies, look out for that, because we're going to be doing a sweepstakes and it's going to be super cool.
Yeah, that have some other stuff in the stadium that I don't want to give away just yet, but we will before the season starts. Some the chance for you to win some pretty cool prizes if something happens on the field as well. So we'll have a lot more of that as we get closer to the season, which, believe it or not, is coming up about 2.5 months or so, 2 months from when we tape this. Away, April the 11th, and Judge Shaw will be there, be here at the ballpark. Judge Shaw from Judge Shaw Injury Law. You can go to Judd with two D's, J-U-D-D, JudgeShawInjuryLaw.com. Judd, thank you so much. Welcome. We appreciate your partnership with this podcast and the Blue Claws at large. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll see you here at the ballpark in April.
Greg, thanks for having me on. Looking forward to being at the ballpark.
Thanks to Judge Shaw of Judge Shaw Injury Law and Blue Claws manager Greg Brodzinski for joining us today. That was only part one with Greg, and we'll have more with him in part two of our interview next week. Phillies are in spring training starting this week, and when we meet again next week, we'll also talk about the large number of former Blue Claws that are a part of the WBC, the World Baseball Classic, which gets underway in a few weeks. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great weekend, everybody. Opening night, April 11th. See you then. This is Hook, Line, and Splitter, Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast.